Welcome to Warn Radio. Warn Radio. With your hosts, the Watchman Dana Smith and Tower. Thanks for listening.
Greetings and welcome to Warn Radio. I am Tower and we are glad you joined us. Please send all your prayer requests, correspondence, and inquiries for the WIBR Warn Radio Network to us through our contact page on warn-usa.com. And be sure to follow the WIBR Warn Radio on Instagram by using hashtag Warn Radio, on Twitter by using hashtag WatchmanIS216, and hashtag Warn Radio. Join us on USA.life and MeWe with hashtag Warn Radio. You can join us on Parler with at WatchmanDGS and on Clout Hub by using at Warn Radio. The Warn Radio Network is available through the following carriers on our Watchman Alert Radio Network: Blueberry, iHeartRadio, iTunes Player, Apple Podcast, Spreaker, Stitcher, TuneIn, Google Play Music, Warn Radio Visions on Blog Talk Radio, Podcast Addict, CastBox, Google Podcast, Anchor, Deezer, and Podchaser. You can also listen to the shows by going to warn-usa.com or danaglennsmith.com. And you'll also find the Spreaker app on those two websites. Please take time to read the featured articles by The Watchman. They're pertinent and relevant to this day and age we're living in. On danaglennsmith.com, don't miss Credulity, Choices, and Consequences: Meeting America's Last Generation Head-On with Biblical Truth. What is truth? Credulity, Choices, and the Consequences. Biblical truth is at odds with the human endeavor, aspirations, and goals, and the daily grind of human life on planet Earth. God gave all people choice. It is in their best interest to make the best ones. In this we find credulity, lots of choices, and the consequences of their decisions. On warn-usa.com, you can read Blood Moon Prophecy News from Classic Warn Radio. The Blood Moon Prophecy News, Classic Warn Radio, features the best shows. We polish the articles up and bring the message and original story to you, here relating to the Blood Moon and ongoing prophecy news. Also, don't miss Justice, Judgment, and Mercy. Justice, Judgment, and Mercy all scream for attention. People justify their actions today. While you may not find it today, it will be forced upon all people one day at the great white throne judgment. Jesus Christ came to bring justice, judgment, and mercy. Which one would you prefer? And now I welcome in the Watchman.
You're listening to Warn Radio on the WIBR Warn Radio Network. Don't forget to visit our websites at warn-usa.com and danaglennsmith.com. And also follow us on Twitter, find us on Instagram, and join us on LinkedIn.
Greetings, Dana. How are you doing tonight?
Well, I'm doing good, and we get more and more information coming out all the time from the lawyers that are working on the on the election. Meanwhile, the Democrats are pushing ahead, not seem to worry about the election at all.
That's because they're cheating, and if they had any integrity, they would want to make sure that the election thing is done properly and above board.
Well, they would, and right now, the election results are leaking like a sieve. When you talk about, was it proper? So we'll just wait and see this whole thing out and see what's going on. I mean, we're talking hundreds of thousands of ballots here. More news is coming out all the time. More people are doing investigating. State legislators are calling meetings to look at the evidence. So it's
the Democrats don't want it to be done. Because
no, they're
complicit in the fraud.
And meanwhile, in America, we've had Antifa come on out. I think it was today that I had read an article where they threatened to kill patriots. Of course, referring to the fact that if Trump gets in, people don't seem to understand that patriots know how to shoot. At least most of them do. And the last thing we need is a shooting war here.
Oh, I would hate that. And these Antifa and BLM people, there'll be a lot of them that die.
Well, there will.
If it comes to that.
There will be a lot. It's not going to be pretty. I mean, we don't want anything like that. That's stupid. But the bottom line of it is the Democrats don't seem to be concerned at all that there's cheating that went on. And this has been a problem in the Democratic Party since Obama especially, but even before that. As long as they didn't get caught, they didn't worry about it. But now it's getting so obvious that they have gotten caught. And, of course, Biden is planning on putting in the most leftist regime of knuckleheads ever, which is, you can expect that. But, you know, the bottom line of it is the election has never been called except by the news media, and they have nothing. So, you know, the bottom line of it is that as Lynn Wood, the attorney that is working on a lot of stuff for Trump and things, said, this is going to seem like a civil war. But he says we can win, and he's quite open about how bad it could get going through this stuff, because there's going to be a lot of people that are going to be attacking or, you know, trying to stop it. And so we've got a mess. I don't know.
I really hope it doesn't come to a shooting war.
No, I hope not. But, you know, the thing of it is, these are the Democrats in the liberal cities, and many people know who they are. The most notorious ones are Portland and Seattle. And, of course, then you get on over into New York City, where they allowed these punks to burn down the cities and didn't even hold them responsible for it. And in some cases, there were even murders that they weren't held responsible for.
So that's why they're big and bold now to cause a war and demand that they have an audience with Biden when he gets in.
Well, they are making demands, and the bottom line of it is that this just because Biden got in doesn't change the fact that
he's not in yet.
Yeah, we've got a constitution that is going to be defended, and there are people, a lot of them, that there's quite a lot of them. And while Biden thinks that he got a majority, he didn't get a majority. The only reason he got a majority is because they cheated.
That's right.
And I've seen a lot of the articles that came out, and I've also seen the first night when the election was going on, I saw the videos of these dipwits who were counting the ballots, and they were parading them around in front of the cameras and tearing the stuff up after they showed you the name Trump on the thing. So we know very well that some of this stuff was going on. Meanwhile, as we push forward, we're talking about communism and Christianity, which actually sounds more like communism in America today, because, you know, we do have leftists that are in our political establishments that are making leftist, communist, Marxist pushes in our society. And, you know, we're not a Marxist and a communist society. And I'm not going to be communist. I'm not going to be Marxist. And so whatever they have decided amongst themselves, there's a whole group of people out here are not going to go down that road. So, you know, in the old days we used to stop it. But today, you know, we just allow this mess to go on, allow these knuckleheads to do whatever they want to. But we're talking about communism and Christianity. And, of course, this goes back to Pastor Wang Yi, who is still in prison. We've talked about this poor pastor a lot, but he's not really poor. He's poor maybe financially, but the guy is rich in faith. And yes, he headed up one of the largest churches in China. And, matter of fact, the Early Rain Covenant Church became infamous because it was torn down, stopped, and everything else. And the members were forced to sign papers saying they would not, you know, do anything with their Christian faith. And China's been ongoing in the oppression of Christian faith. so what happened recently, well, you know, you have Wang Yi now who is in prison. You have the Early Rain Covenant Church, which is no more. And you have all those people that are still connected to it. And, of course, the Chinese Marxist Guard is watching each and every one of them. Well, a particular speaker was scheduled to speak during the pandemic at an online preaching seminar. This is for Christians, you know, and anybody else. But he's a Chinese writer. He is very high profile in the democracy movement in China. At least that's, you know, this is about China, so he'd have to. But the problem that he runs into, he was high profile, but he converted to Christianity in 2016. You know, now he didn't count on that. But see, this is how the Lord works. How many times, Tower, have we reported on the enemies of God becoming Christians?
Oh, I know. Lots of times.
Yeah, we've had it. I mean, whether you like it or not, the Apostle Paul was once an enemy of Christ and the church.
He was.
And, you know, you go get him saved. You know, you go get them. Now, the Jews hate that word, you know, when you say saved. They say, I suppose you're one of those who think you're saved. Well, see, we're saved by faith. And in the Christian realm, we believe we're saved because we believe on the Lord. It's all by faith. We're not justified by the works of the law. We're justified by faith. Nevertheless, you know, so here he is, you know. I mean, all of a sudden, he's been born again, and there is a difference between someone who is born again and someone who is not, my friends.
That's right.
And if you do not know the difference and you call yourself a Christian, then you had better get the real thing instead of that, you know, dry-cleaned method of Christianity they got where all you got to do is become a member. It's a lot more than just being a member of a church, I can guarantee you. You better be a member, blood-washed, born again of the Spirit of God in order to join this, you know, movement following the King of Kings, Yahshua, Jesus Christ. And he's going to win. Marx is not going to win. Muhammad is not going to win.
Amen.
The Democrats are not going to win. No nation is going to win, but the kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, that is going to win. And so it's full of Baptists and Pentecostals and all kinds. But see, they're not going to be sitting in various corners of heaven. They're going to be all together as children of the Most High God.
Oh, that'll be wonderful.
That will be.
That'll be amazing.
So at any rate, this Ran Yunfei, who has now converted, he was summoned by the police because he had given one of his lectures on the web, Christianity and Chinese Culture. You know, you can just see him saying this, you know, having this thing, a preaching seminar, you know. You know, Chinese culture and, well, you know, when Christ enters in, it's Christian. It's faith. It's the Lord. And, you know, so there's a lot of thing. Now, you know, the thing of it is he was supposed to cancel all of his calls. And he had recorded the video, and he was going to go ahead and do that. And he had shared it on WeChat, but he made it back in time for his show. He didn't want to have to well, you know, the show must go on.
Yeah.
And he says, I cannot share tomorrow as well. That's probably because they were watching, but we must share the gospel through speaking. And if you understand that being in chains is sharing the gospel, not only with the people who talk to you, but also the many who watch you, then we should feel joy for entering the police station multiple times. Now, you know, there's something you need to understand about this, folks. Every Christian that is persecuted for their faith by the government or anybody else, and that's including those radical Islamic groups who are keeping Leah Sharabu and others captive and have done so for a long time, and they lord it over them. Well, one of these days, as long as she keeps true, Leah Sharabu will be at a point where you cannot ever touch her, and you will be under her feet, every one of you. When we or the church is persecuted for their faith, and the authorities of that nation, that state, throw you in jail, when you go into prison, you are a witness to Jesus Christ and to the immoral state that has done that. You are the witness. Just by being guilty and going in there, and the grace of God is upon you more than ever, and His blessing. So make no mistake, as Christians in America, and we live with a lot of this junk that's going on, and we have an antichrist attitude, hey, don't let them bother you. I'm not ashamed to be a child of God or follow Yahshua Jesus Christ. I'm not ashamed at all. And those people, you know, that think that they're going to rule over and lord it over Christians all their life, and, well, you know, I got news for you. You may lord it over Christians and those who have the faith of Jesus in this earth, but you will be their stepping stone when Christ's kingdom come. So
that's right.
So
they need to repent.
When we talk about this high profile democracy activist who became a Christian,
I think that's exciting.
And he was taken away ahead of his preaching his seminar. He never did get to do that. And in order to silence him, they have to ban him from speaking.
As if that's going to stop him.
Yeah. And so what he calls drinking tea with the police has already become a norm for Rand. So they call him in. So he can go there and drink tea with the police while he's being summoned in order to keep him from preaching. So he just talks to them. Yeah.
Not going to stop him.
Well, you know, I'm trying to think. Watchman.
Knee,
yeah. He was so dangerous at converting people. whenever they put him in prison, they would never let him alone with one person. They always set him with several people because he was so dangerous at converting people.
And they changed the guard every day and every few hours.
Yeah. They couldn't leave him alone with him because he'd have him converted. I mean, that's a powerful anointing.
Yes, it is.
Meanwhile, back in America, yeah, that says it all. Back in America, what? Well, we have a ways to go before we're a watchman knee, I can tell you.
You're right.
Well, in our news shorts today, we're in Turkey and Sudan. And, you know, the thing of it is, over in Turkey, you know, they have taken a couple of different churches over there and made them into mosques, one of the most famous ones over there. But there's a priest over there by the name of Father Sefer Belesin. And he's being charged by the Turkish authorities for membership in a terrorist organization. You see, when we talk about Turkey, we can't forget Erdogan. And we can't forget the PPK or the PKK. This is all part of the same parties that were in Syria and also in northern Iraq. They're Kurdish. And the Kurds, these groups of Kurds, see, the Ottoman Empire, when they came to a close, by the time they did, they had massive genocides of people. And some of those were the Kurdish people, among others, that they had slaughtered. And so this particular Assyrian priest, which was just trying to help, was giving food and water, food and stuff, to the PKK. So now he's being held as part, as a member, and helping them out, because you can't help nobody out in Erdogan's world, especially the PKK. I still think it should be the PPK, but at any rate. And one witness said that he does not know Father Belesin, but heard from others that he gave food to the PKK. Of course, that's hearsay.
Yes.
So hearsay in Erdogan's world is okay, as long as it suits your purpose. The second witness said they wanted food and that Father Belesin shared with them without knowing their identities. So how can you find him guilty? And of course, so you have the Turkish PKK and you got Turkey itself, and so you do have a mess over there. And while there is no ongoing war right now, make no mistake, Turkey has regularly, well, they hate the Kurdish, and they hated the Kurds that was over in northern Iraq next to the border over there, northern Syria, rather. And Erdogan hated them so much he didn't want to even do anything to support them. And so they finally did get around some of those things, but this hatred goes way back. Now, over in southern Sudan, of course, the pandemic has taken its toll, as it is in a lot of places in Africa. The oil prices, the falling oil prices, of course, hit Sudan hard because their particular supply of oil doesn't bail them out. And South Sudan, which is a new country again, you know, they're trying to get revamped over in Sudan and have peace. And so they took out a loan from the International Monetary Fund because they are getting reorganized. So commodities are very expensive. And very few people can afford to buy basic items because the cost is too high. So mainly what you got over there, you got people starving, having trouble. And COVID-19, everything's restricted, so you don't have the movement of goods and people. So you got a mess, and then you add in the fact that their currency is falling, and of course the wages, if you are working, this doesn't do any. Then they had flooding, so you can see that there's a lot of problems. But the thing that they wanted to bring out is that there are soul-winning soldiers on the ground over there. They have over 200 evangelists, and they wake up every day talking about reaching out to more and more communities. And so in the midst of all this turmoil, guess what you have? The gospel going out. And one of those stories, the one with Turkey prosecutes, is from the Assyrian International News Agency, which gives out the news for all the Assyrians. And I like to quote them to give them some exposure. So it's Assyrian International News Agency, and Google can lead you to them. And the other one is Missions Network. News online, Mission Network News online, and you can find that in Google. They were discussing the Sudan story. Those are shorts. Just tells you a little bit about what's happening in the world. And of course, those are two areas that we've been concerned about for many years. Sudan and then Turkey is Erdogan has got a messiah complex, so he's really looking to bring the Mahdi in. You got one group of them that are looking for the Mahdi, and the other group's looking for a caliphate, Islamic caliphate. And so I don't think Erdogan really cares which one it is as long as he gets to head it up. Now, we do have another one here, and I like to do these because this particular story gives a voice to the voiceless.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Tower.
Excuse me. Yes, we wanted to bring this story out because this little baby cannot speak for herself anymore. Her name is London Martin. She was born in August of 2020, or she was this year, she was born August 26th, and in October, on October 24th, her life was tragically taken from her. Her dad and mother had been fighting. They'd been together 4 years, and the father was kicking at the mother and the baby, so she grabbed the baby and took her out in the living room, and he followed him and grabbed the baby out from her, and he dropped her over the balcony. And the mother called the police. She was trying to revive the baby when they arrived. The father had stole the mother's car, took off, crashed it several times trying to escape, and before he did that, he set a fire and killed their dog. It's just, he was supposedly has mental illness, and it's just so extremely sad that this family lost this precious baby.
It's terrible.
Oh, it's horrible. It's gut-wrenching. So remember to pray for this family. They lost a daughter, a little sister, a granddaughter, a niece, and I know this is very gut-wrenching for this family.
You know, and that comes via the griot. That's over in Nevada. But the thing of it is, you know, there's a lot of this trashing of children today.
We heard of another incident where a 12-year-old was beaten so severely that his brain was swollen and they had to take part of his skull off. And they had to intubate him, and he is really in very critical condition, and he's only 12 years old. And that was perpetrated by the parents.
Yes, the parents had treated all of their children terribly, but this one got the brunt of it. I mean, it's unspeakable what they did to him, but we see a lot of this today, along with child trafficking, sexual trafficking, slavery, you know, and Trump did head up a big group and called for it to go out and to stop it, and they did rescue a bunch of kids, lots of kids. So this stuff is going on, and this was, they were rescued in America from American places where they were being held. And
I think these people just ought to be shot.
Yeah, I agree with you there.
I'm sorry, I'm not like God and have mercy. I don't think they should, they don't deserve mercy.
Now, she is talking about those who do it.
Yeah.
Not about the victims. These poor children. I have no compassion for yahoos who do this to kids. I just as soon have them shot as look at them. They don't deserve mercy, and they don't deserve anything from the law because they didn't give out anything. Cold-blooded murderers, no goods, and they deserve to rot in hell and burn there. So you keep your hands off the children. You stop oppressing the kids. You need to hit something, go outside and beat your head against that birchwood outside or cottonwood or whatever you got out there. You leave the kids alone. Bunch of undignified yahoos that don't deserve the breath God gives them, let alone the grace.
And then taking advantage of people like this, you know,
yeah,
because they can make money. That's their God.
Yeah, that's even worse when you do it and you make money.
Yeah.
And
I just think that's horrible what they they're doing to the children. It disturbs me greatly.
Now, I'm not going to talk too much about this, but this is about the Christian vote and Trump. The Faith and Freedom Coalition put out a story saying Christian voters made the margin of victory in big U.S. Senate races. We're still waiting for the Senate, but they did. The Republicans did pick up a good amount in the House as well. So the bottom line of it is that the whole thing. They said Trump took home 81% of the support of white evangelicals this year. That's the same as in 2016. Joe Biden won the lowest share of white evangelical vote ever received by a Democratic presidential nominee. And so, you know, and it all centers around marriage, religious liberty, Israel, you know, abortion. There's a lot of things why, you know, people are voting this way. But when you talk about Biden, he's the opposite on everything. Absolutely the opposite. He has nothing but ultra-liberals on his staff now, people that are coming. I mean, it's like you're taking, you know, names to belong to the Communist Party in China. I mean, it's just like, you know, are any of these people really American, God-fearing Americans, people that believe in the Constitution? When you listen
you
to
wonder.
Them, yeah, you, yeah. As far as I'm concerned, I don't think a one of them is. So the bottom line of it is that we are in trouble in this country, and it's not over by a long shot. And I have no problem saying that the Democrats cheated, and many of them cheated on purpose because they have a fundamental different viewpoint, and they pushed it this year by making their own laws, including the governor of Nevada, who made it a point to brag about it after he got done changing the laws regarding the ballot and the vote. So now it's in the hands of the lawyers and the courts. We'll see what happens, but even today, we had a bunch of Antifa who said that they're going to get the guns out and they're going to start shooting patriots if Trump does win the election. So we've got people that, number one, are willing to shoot and kill. They were willing to burn down the inner cities. So You know, if you're a praying person, I would pray, but you also better keep an eye on your family. And if you're in the inner city, now many years ago, I've been warning what was coming to America for many years, and so is Tower. And one of the things I told people way back a long time ago was that they needed to get out of the inner cities because of what was coming. And so, the bottom line of it is, I mean, when you talk about people warning America, David Wilkerson warned America a long, long time ago for, you know, the entire time of his ministry. But he had a vision where he saw 1,000 fires in New York City and inner arrest, and the fact that the cops wouldn't be able to control areas there. I personally interviewed a guy that was a black ops who detailed how they were going to do when they tried to take America over. And it sounds a lot like, it really details a lot like what actually happened here. So there are people, and as he said, they're black. Not black in color, but heart. And so these are the things that's going on in your country today. And very much under attack, and we find the same kind of attack worldwide. So we are in the days of lawlessness, and so we need to keep it up. You need to be strong, be of good courage. You need to have faith if you're a Christian. You need to face up to darkness and evil. You need to be able to pray and believe God for miracles. And if you don't believe God can work in an absolute miraculous way, then frankly, you have no business being a Christian, because today your starch is going to be tested. You have got to get out there and get your faith going. And I mean, get in the prayer closet. Get your faith up and believe for miracles and believe in God moving in the impossible realm. And that's what you have to be doing. You need to understand this is not fence sitting time. And God is not going to allow you to sit there, because there's stuff happening right now that we are right on the edge right now. And it's not simple like the news, who are just totally anti-Trump and anti-anything other than the Democrats. Because nothing's been called yet. There's a few states, but it isn't signed, sealed, and delivered. Right now, there's three different states and their legislators who are going to be looking into all this stuff. There's stuff before the Supreme Court and other stuff coming up. There's all kinds of legislation going on. There's been thousands upon thousands of people reporting inconsistency in this election. So make no mistake about it. This needs to be uncovered, and if you were a halfway honest Democrat and Republican, because Republicans don't see it either, you need to get to the bottom of this and find out what is going on. Because if you can't have an honest election right now, you ain't ever going to have one again in this country.
That's right, and you know, I wanted to put this in, this kind of stuff going on is easy to bring fear into your life, and yeah. And you can't let that happen, and or fear man. And Proverbs 29:25 says, "The fear of man brings a snare, but whoso puts his trust in the Lord shall be safe."
That's right.
I like that verse.
Yeah, God has not given us a spirit of fear, folks, but of love, power, and of a sound mind.
Amen.
And Tara's got another one for us. Are you
Tara?
Ready? Tower, excuse me.
Yeah, you forgot one, though. You skipped over the Israeli one.
Did I?
Yeah. United Antichrist, United Nations.
Oh, I didn't even see it. I went, oh, yeah, let me look at that.
Okay, do that one, and then I'll do the
Antichrist, United Nations. Well, that's easy. They've been Antichrist as long. We don't even need to go through that. Just say, yeah, the United Nations, in case you forgot, is Antichrist. Okay, that's the end of the story. Well, the United Nations General Assembly, up to their usual stuff, passed a resolution that refers to the Temple Mount in Jerusalem by its Muslim name of Al-Haram al-Sharif. And of course, that prompts accusations from Israel's UN ambassador that the body is intentionally ignoring the city's Jewish roots.
Yeah, they are.
Now, see, you know, for a long time. Now, they've already declared a lot of things concerning the Temple Mount and a lot of things concerning Israel. The UN is not a friend to Israel, and most of the people in there that are within the Security Council and a lot of the other organizations, even on the human rights, are people that don't abide by human rights themselves. There's a lot of Muslim nations in the UN, and most of them hate Israel and vote against Israel. And so they went on to note the importance of the city of Jerusalem for the three monotheistic religions, and the special significance of the holy sites. Now, see, there's a lot of stuff. When we talk about the holy sites in Israel, everybody loves to go to them. But, folks, if you think that Jerusalem and Israel, I mean, all the grounds from the Temple Mount, all the stuff we know as a biblical holy land where Christ walked, if you think that that is holy right now, holy ground, you're wrong. A lot of blood has been shed. And that ground, especially if they were going to open up the third temple, which should happen before the tribulation, somewhere in there it's going to be built. They're going to have it. I got news for you. That ground has got to be sanctified before anything can be put on it. It's known as Sodom and Egypt in Revelation. Once you get that amount of blood on it, the blood defiles the land. And there's not peace in a land that has that kind of blood on it. So there's a lot of problems in there. And Israel has had to fight for its existence since it was given it in 1948. So when we have a professional agency like the United Nations, who basically spends most of their time as anti-America and anti-Israel, the only thing they like America for is support and money, which Trump stopped. And come to find out, of course, Joe Biden is going to want to give money back to the UN, which he shouldn't do, but he will if he gets in. So everything you see that has been done will be undone by Biden. Everything that was done by Obama was undone by Trump. And the minute Obama started undoing everything from everybody previous, I was online telling people that we're going to have this from now on with every president. They're going to come in and they're going to change things and make their laws just from the pen of the desk of the president and make the rest of us suffer as we go through this rigmarole monkey show that they all put on every time somebody gets elected. And, you know, I mean, if this continues, we need to stop this and do some serious debate about what we want to do with this country. And I, for one, think that if we've got two different Americas, we need to split it in half and get the idiots one half and we'll take the other. Because the people that don't want America are morons, are idiots. And I've talked to some people that were smart. And they factually ask me, was America ever really great? Well, I'll tell you this much, folks, and we do a lot of reporting and a lot of research and a lot of study, and I can tell you from looking around the world and the people that come here from persecuted countries, this nation here is a godsend for them so they can live their faith out without being shot, killed, murdered, or anything else, which we report all the time on. So if you think America is hell on earth and it ain't worth anything, then you need to pull your butt over and go into North Korea or China and live for a while and see how much you like it over there. You just might like it. But on the other hand, it's probably a 98.9% chance that you ain't going to like it at all. So what we need to do is wake the younger generation up, and the rest of you need to shut up and you need to repent. You need to understand what's going on. Because, frankly, this country being divided cannot stand when we have this kind of cheating, this kind of lying, when we have the techies in all their big groups think that they can go and ban people whenever they want to and stop them from talking, when we have governors that think that they can have any kind of a close down to where people have no rights at all, that violate their own amendment rights, and when we have all this other stuff in the rest of the news that refuses refuses to even cover the news correctly and hates so much that it just comes out every other sentence. And when we have some people that are in Congress that are absolutely pushing to destroy this nation, it's time for somebody to take a good look at what we have, and we need to clean house. And I'm going to tell you that you are right on the edge right now, right now. This month, especially during Christmas, during the holy times, so to speak, for many Christians, this is going to be it. It would really be a tragedy if a civil war began during December, which is the time that many Christians in the West celebrate the birth of their Savior. That's really going to give glory to the Lord when everybody stops, starts killing and shooting and murdering. But you better remember one thing. We are in the end of days. And in the end of days, the Lord said, unless the days should be shortened, no flesh would be left alive. That's how perilous it is in the end of days. And I've been covering these end of days for a long time, and I know what it says. So Antichrist, United Nations, that's not surprising. They've been Antichrist. But just for your information, I covered it tonight. Okay, Tower.
Okay. This story comes to us through CBN. They report, and it's out of Indonesia. They're reporting about Pastor Yeremia, and he was known for translating the Bible into Papazmani dialect in Indonesia, and the government said in a statement they are investigating, contending that he was shot by an armed criminal group while tending his pigs in September. However, the pastor's church, the Indonesian Gospel Tabernacle Church, argued it had received information that Yeremia was actually tortured and shot by Indonesian National Armed Forces. The head of the Papua Province Humanitarian Team for Cases of Violence Against Religious Figures said in a press conference that the National Armed Forces members had given a two-day deadline to return weapons confiscated during a separate shootout 2 days earlier. And the message was accompanied by threats that if the district was not returned, it would be bombed. And he added that soldiers had specifically sought out the pastor while he was tending to his pigs with the intent to kill him. Immediately, there was an order to raise your hand, and the pastor, Yeremia, answered with his hands raised, saying that I am a servant of God. And the pastor's shooting was carried out with standard military firearms. And the Indonesian community of churches has called on the president, demanding the culprits be held responsible. And Antara News reports the region's top military commanders said that any soldier found to be involved will be punished. Well, let's hope so. This is horrible, and it's hard to get justice for our brothers and sisters in these kind of countries.
Well, it is, and you know, I mean, that's what he was, a servant of the Most High God.
Yes, he was.
And he that loses his life for my sake and the gospel shall find it. Yep. That's one of those things. I hate to see these experienced pastors and leaders, you know.
Oh, me too.
Get destroyed.
And look what he was doing, translating the Bible.
Oh, I know.
That's our bread of life. When every time I read the Bible, I think I'm going to the banqueting table of the Lord. Because you're fed with that word.
Well, you know, I will be ready. I'm ready for that banquet. Well, you know, we do have hope, no matter what happens in America, you know. And that's really what we need to do, folks, is kindle that hope. And when you go through how many of these people that are thrown in prison, are killed, their daughters are stolen and married, raped and married against their will. CBN had a story of a former immigrant. And his name's Daniel Lubetsky. And he founded Kind LLC. He talked to Neil Cavuto. And he said, "I came from Mexico. I immigrated in 1984. My father was in the concentration camp in Dachau. So having that background, I'm very, very sensitive to the polarization and division that can actually hurt our nation. I've never seen the divisions that I see now. I remember when I arrived in America how proud I was of the system where people could disagree, but still have a coffee together and care about each other and work together." Now that's what we're missing.
Yes.
That is called civility. When you agree to disagree agreeably, you know, instead of hateful. He went on to say, "And I think it's essential for a nation to fulfill its maximum potential that we work on that." And he told Cavuto that kindness is not a weakness, as some people might say. He said the act of being kind requires an enormous amount of strength most of the time, because you want to tell them off. It takes enormous amounts of strength to listen to the side that you disagree with and to still respect them and assume positive intent. I think in the last several years we lost that ability, and I think the internet has become a part of that.
Oh yeah, a big part.
So there is no doubt about it, and I appreciate this guy and his testimony. It's just one of those things, Tower, that when you look at people that do come here, you know, they get to the point where, you know, they came here for a reason. And now all of a sudden they're seeing it fall apart. You know, all of a sudden the America that they saw is getting destroyed, falling away. And so at any rate, we do have a few minutes. You want to try to do this last one?
Sure.
Okay.
This story is about Miyok. And of course, that's not her real name. She's a North Korean Christian, and she's over 70 years of age. And her parents had served in the underground church of North Korea for decades. She managed to get to China earlier this year, where she visited an open doors safe house and received food, fellowship, and pastoral care. After she was strengthened physically and spiritually, she was able to return to North Korea. And just before she left, she wrote a thank you letter to the people who took care of her and the brothers and sisters she has never met like you. And below, or this is her letter that she wrote in her own words. "Dear teacher, I am Miyok from North Korea. I cannot find the words to express how grateful my heart is, how great and how amazing God's grace is upon me. The only thing I can say is thank you so much. I am less worthy than an insect who crawls on the ground, but God pours out his grace over me. I'm just overwhelmed. When I received food, clothes, medicine, and other living supplies from you, I just cried out so much. I feel so thankful to God's amazing love. As you know, this wasn't my first time in China, but this time I saw, felt, and realized so many things. I've always believed I was already a Christian since I was conceived in my mother's womb. My family and my ancestors are such faithful believers, and I follow in their footsteps. But it was only now that I learned how my people had been praying, or it was only now that I had learned how many people had been praying for us, the North Korean believers, and for our country. I am amazed that so many people care for us. My father and my mother served the underground church secretly, even though we all experienced much suffering and persecution. My parents raised me and my siblings as Christians. I have kept the faith so far through your powerful prayers. Thanks to your prayers, I could experience the love of God. It has been more than a century which North Korea was divided in half. Without the love of Jesus Christ, how could I have experienced the love of God? Whenever I see you, teacher, I could feel that you are like Jesus serving this generation. And after I go back to my country, I do not know what kind of sufferings I may face. But I promise that I will keep my faith until the last day of my life. Please pray for me to be able to stand firmly, and also pray for North Korea to be the country freed in Christ. I will miss you so much when we are physically apart. However, I will be looking forward to meeting you soon and to worship God with loud voices in a Korea that's unified by Christ's love. Thank you so much again. That's an amazing story.
It is.
And how she went back. I wouldn't have wanted to go back.
I love that story.
I do too.
And, I don't know how many times I've been moved by the testimony of people, Christians from overseas. You know, it's just, you know, what we go through here, I call gnat stings.
Yeah.
And I've been calling them that for years and years, many, many years, folks, decades. And I look at what our brethren go through, folks, and then I see the nonsense that we're divided over. Folks, we really do need to get this straight.
It's ridiculous.
We need to stop this. And so join us in praying for this nation to be healed. It's going to take a lot. Most people will not come willingly, but it's only going to happen if people come to the Lord. This country needs to repent, and if it will not repent, the end of this country will not be happy. And I like that letter, too, because of the humility.
Oh, I know.
You know, she was so humble. You know, she was in an environment where she is less than a worm.
Yeah.
You know. My heart goes out to him. And the thing that amazes me is, even today, the reports that we have gotten from ministries that have connections over there. And folks, that's another reason we can't afford to have America be destroyed.
Amen.
Because we need these ministries, and we need them financially viable. We need them with spirit-filled people. We need them people that love God through Christ Jesus to man and help the persecuted church around the world. We need the America to stand as it was, and we need to throw off this attack on our freedoms and our Constitution and our way of life, and we need to get back to business of helping those overseas.
That's right, amen.
And with that, we're going to have to get out of here, Tower.
Okay, well, thank you everybody for joining us. We're glad that you joined us, and please pray for our brethren around the world as we pray for you. We love you, and this is Thanksgiving week. We have a lot to be thankful for.
We do.
So, good night, everybody. We love you. We pray for you. We really care about you. And we hope the best for you in Jesus Christ. And thank you for all you do for Him. Good night.
Don't forget to go by warren-usa.com or danaglennsmith.com. Remember, we've got the Watchman Institute that's over on MeWe. And we also have, we're over on usa.life. And we're on Parler and CloudHub. These are the new things. I'm telling you, folks, things are growing over there. And it's growing fast, and Christians are over there in droves. So until next time, folks, the Lord will, He wins, folks. In Jesus' name, good night.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Warn Radio.